Excellent. Young people, excellent. Thank you so much. Another. There's so much to celebrate about Christmas. So many aspects of the great Christmas gift that God has given to us. The great gift of eternal life. The gifts of hope. The gifts of joy. The gift of a whole new life as a Christian. So many wonderful things to celebrate about the coming of our Savior that it's difficult to focus on one thing at a time. In the same way that we observe the little children in our lives when it comes to Christmas, so many things going on at Christmas time that it's hard to focus on one thing. I can still remember when our little ones were little, and that first year, just about all they wanted to do was eat the paper. And then the next year, it's all about getting one thing unwrapped and, yeah, that's great, and putting it aside and getting the next one. And then, yep, that's good. And then getting another one and opening those presents up. It was just awesome. Even for us, there's so much about the true meaning of Christmas that it is difficult to focus on one particular aspect of what Christmas really means. But for a few moments this morning, I'd like for us to think about one particular aspect, and we're calling it the peace of Christmas. Now, if you were in Pastor John's Sunday school class this morning, you had a wonderful presentation, and I want you all to know that I didn't get my notes from Pastor John's Sunday school class. So, but he did a wonderful job of talking about the peace of Christmas. He asked the question, which was really a good one, about what is the most quoted verse from the Bible that we see on Christmas cards. And there was some discussion about that, about what particular verse in Scripture would be the most quoted on Christmas cards. But he jumped on the one that I was thinking of that somebody else brought up, and it really is a good one. And that's in Luke chapter 2. That's where we're going to start for this morning, in Luke chapter 2 and verse 14, right from the passage that Dave read for us. But first, I want for just a moment to think about what peace is. We try to define terms, and it's very important to define terms, but what peace really is. Lots of people think that peace is the absence of conflict, which it really isn't. Peace is defined from a biblical perspective would be the state of harmony that is available to believers through having a right relationship with God and others, and especially associated with the presence of the Holy Spirit, who is the peace bringer, if you will. Peace. I did some research there. I found a particular article here called Peace Research. It's really, I feel badly that I bothered to print it. I almost wasted three pieces of paper here, but I wanted you to be aware that there's a lot of research going on out there about peace. There's this section on the philosophy of war and the science of peace. The science of peace, that's an interesting concept. There's various academic and governmental initiatives that are being taken, not only in our country, but around the world, about peace. There's another section here about negative and positive peace. Now, think about that, and you'll be wasting your time. There's a movement, Worldwide Humanity for Solidarity, but the one that really stuck out to me out of these five points they made here is that there are three prominent journals. Journal is an education kind of word there that refers to magazines. You know, their monthlies or their quarterlies, and occasionally twice a year. But there's these three journals, and they're called, I didn't make this up. I mean, this is real. The Journal of Conflict Resolution, Journal of Peace Research, and the Journal of Peace and Change. So there are these various academic magazine kind of things that are just a lot of energy, a lot of stuff, a lot of time and study pouring into peace. Kind of reminds me of Jeremiah 8:11, where it says, peace, peace, and there is no peace. Pastor John pointed out that over the last 3,500 years, there have been very few of those years when peace actually existed around the world. Certainly none of the years in any of our lifetimes has the world been at peace, and it won't be until Jesus comes again. And that's what Luke 2 is all about, and that's what Christmas is all about. The Savior has come, and he's coming again. Amen? All right. So look with me at Luke chapter 2 and verse 14 for just a moment. And basically, I just want to pull some thoughts together from what the Scripture says about peace, and then at the end of it, make an application that we can take with us for Christmas. Luke chapter 2 in verse 14 is the announcement of peace. And it says here in the NIV, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Peace is part of why Jesus came to the earth, so that we could know peace. People struggle in their finances, they struggle in their relationships, they struggle in the way they're going to live their lives, what their life's calling or their life's mission or their life's purpose is going to be. And there's all kinds of struggle and tension in all of those areas, and some other ones as well. People need peace. People want peace. People seek peace. And we find a variety of ways where people seek peace in something that's distracting or something that's fun or something that's medicating or something that just get me away from the lack of peace. But in the announcement of the coming of the Savior, a Savior has been born to us. He brings peace. He offers peace to boys and girls, men and women around the world. It is marvelous. Just the quiet in this room right now is marvelous too. It's peace. There's peace here. Second verse I'd have us to look at would be in Luke, and we're just working our way through the Scriptures here, so I don't think we'll back up, but let's look at Luke chapter 19. In Luke chapter 19, a couple of verses together here. Luke 19, verse 41. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. Jesus is grieved as he observes the city of Jerusalem, knowing their great need for peace, about how if they had only known where peace was to be found. Peace was to be found in him, but they really weren't interested in it. Later on, as we turn to the Gospel of John, John chapter 16, in this upper room meeting before his crucifixion, the last night that Jesus spent with his disciples, in these chapters in John from 13 through 18, but in John chapter 16, he's announcing to his disciples that he's not going to be with them much longer. He's promised them the coming of the Holy Spirit. And he's promising now in the second half of the chapter of John 16 that their grief will turn to joy. In verse 33, he says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. See, peace is found in Jesus Christ alone. Alone, only in Jesus Christ. See, in the world you'll have trouble. There will be trouble. as long as the world exists until he comes again. But he says, take heart, I have overcome the world. Moving ahead in the book of Acts, chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, the account of Peter at Cornelius' house, each of these men saw a vision and God was putting them together, bringing them together. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 36, it says, I'll go back to verse 34 just to get a little context here. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. See, we know from Philippians that one day every knee will bow because Jesus Christ is Lord. It's just a matter or not of whether people will recognize him as Lord. But he is the Lord of peace. He brings peace. The good news, the gospel message, is about peace. Because at one point, every last one of us was at war with God. We were against God by nature. And now, peace. And we'll see that very clearly as we move into the gospel according to Paul here in Romans chapter 5. You'll remember from our series of messages on Romans that in Romans you have the wrath of God, the grace of God, the plan of God, and the will of God. So in the first three chapters, and chapter up to 3:19, we have the wrath of God. But we're in a section here in chapter 5 where Paul is explaining the grace of God. And he says in 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, because of faith, we're made right, we're justified with God, and the result of that is peace. So we can run around saying to each other, peace, brother, peace, sister, peace, because we've been justified because of faith in Jesus Christ. Peace be with you. That's what he's referring to here. Moving along to chapter 15 of Romans, as Paul nears the end of his great description and his great revelation as the Holy Spirit worked through him to share what God's wrath and God's mercy and his plan and his will. Towards the end of this, he says in chapter 15 and verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. As you trust in him. Even for Christians, sometimes we, as Christians, we run around without peace. We hurry-scurry here and there, and we're trying to make this happen, and we're trying to accomplish this, we're trying to change this person and somebody else, and we don't experience peace because we're not trusting in him. The verse says, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. As Christians, we don't experience the peace that we ought to oftentimes. And moving along to Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 2. If the gospel is about peace, then at one time there was no peace. And Ephesians chapter 2 will be focusing on verse 14, but we want to look at the context from 11 to 18. We'll see how God brings this peace about. Verse 11 of Ephesians 2. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called the uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. See, that describes what it was like before we came to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We were foreigners. We were excluded. We were without hope. We were without God in the world. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. He has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier by the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by the one Spirit. So at one time, there was no peace. And through the Lord Jesus Christ, he has made peace with everyone who will bow the knee to Jesus Christ. Philippians, the very next letter. And it is interesting as well that every one of Paul's letters, of which there are 13 in the New Testament, every single one of Paul's letters uses the grace and peace, sometimes a little expanded version, but there's always that grace and peace to you in each one of his letters. Here in chapter 4 of Philippians, beginning in verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. So many times we're anxious. We fret and we fume and we worry and we have anxiety. Things aren't going the way we think they ought to go. Things aren't going the way we want them to go. Somebody else is not doing what we think they ought to do. I know I experience that often. Anxiety about something. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the God of peace, which transcends all understanding, will guide your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Over these last few weeks, we've had several major demonstrations of how the God of peace is working in his people through trials, through physical difficulties. The God of peace will be with you. Just a couple more here. One in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. See, these are, as we wind down, these last couple here are very much practical, very much application oriented. See what 3:15 in Colossians says. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. See, twice here, peace. There's a command at the beginning of this verse. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Allow the peace of Christ to rule in your hearts. Don't be caught up in the things that would tempt you to become anxious and worried and fretful. Allow the peace of Christ to rule in your hearts, in your inner man, because we were called to peace. And then the last one is 2 Timothy. There's lots more. There's 97 times in the New Testament when the word peace is used, but we've chosen these few. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. There's a command here too. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. If you and I are going to experience the peace of Christmas, we're going to have to push something else away. We're going to have to flee from some things. And he lists out what some of these things are. The evil desires of youth. And pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Maybe God's working in your heart this week, this morning, this hour, to convict you that there's something in your life, some evil desire that he would want you to flee from. There's an application for everyone here. What are some of the applications? If the gospel is about peace, if the Lord Jesus came to offer us the free gift of eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ, and the result of that is peace, what are some of the areas in your life and my life where this peace will be experienced? Well, first of all, there's going to be peace in our hearts. Peace in the inner man, woman, child. Peace in here first. And then there'll be peace in our homes. Some homes don't have peace in there. When we experience the peace of Christmas, we'll have peace in our homes. That will be it, show itself between husbands and wives, between parents and children, and whoever else might live in our home. There'll be peace. And not only peace in our hearts and peace in our homes, but there'll be peace in our health. As we mentioned, and as we're all aware, there are a number of folks dealing with physical issues, medical issues. Even in those difficulties, we can have peace in our hearts, in our homes, and in our health. It's inevitable. We're all going to have physical difficulties. Nobody ever got out of this life alive. The death rate is still 100%. But we can have peace in the midst because we know Jesus Christ. We'll have peace in our hearts, peace in our homes, peace in our health. And we'll have peace in our habits. And that has to do with our behaviors. Whether they're our hobbies or what we do on the computer or what we do wherever or whatever. Peace in our daily living. And we'll have peace in our hands. We'll have peace with what we do for work. Not only our hands, but our harvest. We'll be at peace with what God puts in our hands week by week, month by month, and year by year. We'll also have peace in all of our other hardships. Whether it be people related or not, we'll have peace because we walk daily with the Prince of Peace. And ultimately, because of the peace of Christmas, we'll have peace in heaven. And we ought to be looking forward to it. Are you? Amen. Let's pray. Father, as we continue to experience Christmas, I thank you and praise you this morning for the wonderful presentation by the choir, by the instrumental ensemble, by the youth band, by just our own singing. The marvelous voices that you brought together this morning to sing those opening songs. Father, as we continue that throughout this day, throughout this week, next Saturday evening, next Sunday, and beyond, as we continue to experience the celebration of the birthday of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you and we praise you for the peace of Christmas. We confess, Lord, that we sin when we become anxious and experience the anxiety when we're not trusting in you, when we're not experience that peace that passes understanding, whether it be in our hearts and our homes and our hands or in our health or whatever it is. Lord, help us. Thank you for the forgiveness of sin. Thank you that your mercies are renewed every morning and that you are still the God of peace. I ask your blessing on each and every person who came in this morning as we go out. May we go in your peace. In Jesus' name.